from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, November 17th. Coming up, we'll learn about a program at the University of Illinois that helps indigenous tribes take possession of human remains currently stored by the university. That story from Illinois Student Newsroom's Madison Holcomb in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. In a speech on the floor of the U.S. Senate this week, Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois praised a University of Illinois student for standing up for abortion rights, casting her vote last week. Durbin made the comments after reading a story by another U of I student, Daniel Villarreal, who interviewed voters for the Illinois Student Newsroom on Election Day. Illinois Student Newsroom's Lily Salas has more.
In his speech mentioning U of I student voter Lauren Snyder, Durbin said it's important for younger generations to cast their ballots.
Thankfully, Lauren wasn't alone. In this year's election, young voters continued a trend that began 2018 and 2020. They turned out in record numbers. They realize it is the responsibility of their generation to do a better job than our generation and to keep democracy alive.
Snyder says she never expected her words would catch the attention of government officials and gain recognition at a national level.
I was really shocked, but I thought it was really cool that a little five-minute interview I did in Champaign, Illinois, actually went somewhere. I think that's really cool that people care to hear about students and young people's opinions.
For Illinois Student Newsroom, I'm Lily Salas.
The Illinois House Republicans' newly elected leader has her ideas on how to win more races. State Representative Tony McComie says it starts with more outreach in the Chicago suburbs. She says the GOP had good candidates for Illinois House and Senate races, but in many cases could not get past the finish line. Next, she says, stop relying on billionaires to raise campaign cash.
The thing that we cannot do as a Republican Party is rely on one, two, or three big mega donors. We need to be open and, you know, getting the $5, the $25, and bringing folks to the table that have not necessarily wanted to be at the table with us.
McComie told reporters she does not see her chamber's superminority status as a, quote, uphill battle. She thinks Illinois voters will see how imbalanced things are over the next 2 years and vote for balance in 2024. Illinois' major rivers play a crucial role in transporting crops and other commodities, but right now, rivers across the state are facing a drought that's hampering barge traffic. Illinois Newsroom's Luis Velasquez has that story.
The Mississippi River along Illinois' western border is seeing its lowest level since 1988 due to an ongoing drought. This could disrupt the transportation supply chain that is used to ship items such as harvest goods. That's what Deb Calhoun told the 21st Show. She is the senior vice president of the industry group Waterways Council Incorporated.
The current low water has meant reductions in the size of barge tows. So normally we have 40 or more barges put together in a tow configuration that's moving these key commodities to the export market or for use domestically. That has been reduced by half, so about 20 barges or less in a tow.
Calhoun says the worst disruption took place in October, when the price of soybeans increased and some farmers were turned away at grain terminals because of a lack of barges to load their products. I am Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
Carbon is the key to life on Earth, but too many carbon emissions have put our planet on the path to unprecedented heat and storms in human history. Tonight at 7:30 on WILL-TV, we premiere State of Change. The documentary examines how Illinoisans are trying to mitigate carbon emissions. Farmers are being paid to plant off-season cover crops that will pull carbon dioxide out of the air. Jason Lay of Bloomington is one of those farmers.
I mean, it's the obvious American answer. You give me more and I'll figure out how to do it.
You can watch the premiere of State of Change tonight at 7:30 on WILL-TV or stream it on the PBS video app. Still to come, we'll learn more about the NAGPRA program at the University of Illinois. That story from Illinois Student Newsroom's Madison Holcomb is coming up next on 217 Today.
Making Black America Through the Grapevine is a new four-part documentary from Professor Henry Louis Gates, Jr. The series chronicles the vast social networks created by and for Black people throughout American history. Making Black America showcases Black people's ability to collectively prosper, defy white supremacy, and define Blackness in their own terms. You can stream the entire series as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. In the past 2 years, the University of Illinois has stepped up efforts to help indigenous tribes take possession of human remains currently stored by the university. One of the officials overseeing the effort is American Indian Studies Program Director Jenny Davis. She says the school is making progress. Madison Holcomb of the Illinois Student Newsroom spoke to Davis about the program, which goes by the acronym NAGPRA.
Could you explain what NAGPRA is?
NAGPRA is the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. It's federal law. It was enacted in 1990. It makes it the trafficking of Native American remains illegal. Prior to 1990, it wasn't. It requires museums, and within the law, museums are defined as any institution that's received federal funding. So museums are required to go through a process of summarizing the collections they have that are covered by the law, making those available to tribes through a process that it should involve and is required to involve consultation with those tribes, and with an end goal of repatriating those collections. And the collections include Native ancestral remains and sacred and ceremonial objects and beings, and objects and beings of what's called cultural patrimony.
When did the university begin its involvement in this process?
The university has had an anthropology department for a very long time. Some of the collections were excavated as long as 100 years ago. And so in the 90s, when the law was originally passed, the university went through an initial kind of compliance process.
Could you provide specifics of the objects or remains that the university has been in the progress of labeling and returning?
I would probably wouldn't release specifics, in part because it's information that is sensitive to tribal communities. The university, as part of its historical anthropological teaching collection, has approximately 600 or 700 ancestral remains of Native Americans and associated objects that have been inventoried in the 90s and are being re-inventoried. The university is in the process of consultation with tribes around completing not just a summary process, but an inventory process towards repatriation.
What progress has been made so far, especially recent progress?
The NAGPRA office was established in 2020 in the Office of the Vice Chancellor for Research and Innovation, and we hired our first-time NAGPRA officer. This is somebody whose their entire job is to get us towards compliance and educate campus, kind of the state more broadly even, around what NAGPRA is and how to comply. And then since hiring our NAGPRA officer, there have been really impressive strides in terms of creating relationships with tribes for consultation and moving forward. And so I've been really impressed with the work of the NAGPRA office in being able to do that work, particularly in consulting with tribes, because that was a piece that had not happened previously by the university.
Do you know how much is left to do? Like how many objects or remains the university still has to return?
In terms of work that needs to be done, the re-inventorying process for summaries takes a long time. It's very careful, tedious work. It involves lots of different components and angles. And then the consultation process takes quite a while because it involves consulting with anywhere from 3 to 50 different tribes. So I think there's a lot of work that's left to do. It's something that will be in process for at least a decade or two more. You know, personally, I would say that the end goal would be towards a total repatriation of the collections that fall under NAGPRA that we have. Repatriation means return of control to Indigenous nations. So what the outcome is after repatriation is something they would decide. So I think in the short and the long term, that will be those processes of consultation are really key. Then the kind of collaborative decision making around what the future of those collections is.
That was the University of Illinois' director of the American Indian Studies Program, Jenny Davis, speaking with student journalist Madison Holcomb. You can find out more information about this program at nagpra.illinois.edu. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have mostly cloudy skies today with a high of 37 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Lily Salas, Alex Degman, Luis Velasquez, Reginald Hardwick, and Madison Holcomb. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.